You're very welcome to Liberty Church. We exist for you guys. We exist to bring a message of hope, a message of salvation, a message of Jesus that changed lives, transforms lives today the way he did yesteryear. I just want to pray for a moment that God would bless his word to us. Father, we thank you for your word, the scriptures, the Holy Bible. We thank you, Lord, that it's your word to us. And I thank you, Lord, that this is a supernatural book. It's a supernatural word, O God. Now, Father God, it can transform lives just by the reading of this word, O God. The embracing of this word, O God. And I pray this morning, Father, that heaven would come down even in greater portions and measure than we've already experienced this morning. Change us this morning by the very power of your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We've had a series of sermons going over these last couple of weeks. If you want to get your Bible out, you brought it with you. We're going to go through some scriptures this morning. But if you have been with us over the last couple of weeks, and if you're just visitors, we've been speaking on vision for your life, vision from as a church, and practicalities of having vision for your life. Also, a real challenge has come over the last couple of months in my life and in their lives to say to each one of us individually that you have such incredible potential within you. That, you know what, if it was rolled out before you, I think you would say, how in the world could that be all in me? But God has placed inside each one of us, into our DNA, potential to achieve something that God wants achieved. Whether it's in someone's life, somebody's life, community's life, a city's life, a nation's life, or even the lives of a nation. That he has put something in each one of us. And here is the challenge. Don't you dare die with your potential inside of you. Don't you dare go pop your clogs. And all this potential is inside of you. There is thousands of headstones with people in graves. Well, bones in graves that have died with their potential. Something that was in them to achieve, they never achieved it because of whatever. But when you come to this church, you will hear a challenge, something similar, constantly. Don't go out with what God has put in you. Don't leave this world with what God has put in you. Amen. And we painted what we said, what God always paints for our lives is a big picture. A big picture that we can move towards, that we can head towards. We looked at in the old part of the Bible, a man called Abraham, and God painted him a picture. He lived in a mad city where they worshipped any god and anything that was worth worshipping, they worshipped. They worshipped flames, they worshipped moons, they worshipped the sun, they worshipped the stars, they worshipped the wind, they worshipped the rivers, they worshipped the trees, they worshipped everything. And in the midst of all of this, in the midst of all of this, God, the one true God, speaks into Abraham's life and says, Abraham, leave this place, leave where you're at this morning and start walking because I have a journey to bring you on. And if you walk that journey out, he promises to Abraham, he will walk the journey out. That we don't have to have it all measured out step by step. What he says, start walking. And you might be in some circumstance, some situation. You might hear the voice of God saying, just walk. It might be a thought. It might be an idea. And you're saying, but I want to be totally free now. No, walk. Start walking. I want to be the great woman of God that I want to just like a wave of a wand and boom. Doesn't work that way, honey. Start walking. If you walk it out, he'll work it out. If you walk it out, he'll work it out. That's his promise. And Abraham got up. Where he was at, he gathered what he had and he started moving. And as he was moving, he stops at this place. And it's in the night time. And God says, Abraham. And it's like the darkness of being in the desert in the Middle East. Although I've never been in the Middle East. I've never seen the darkness of the skies and the brightness of the constellations in the Middle East. But I was here many times, and one time I was in America, and I was up in the country, and I was living in this, I was in this little house, and I came out at 4 a.m. in the morning to get into the car, to go to the airport, and I looked up to the sky, and the sky was so black, and there was millions, and millions, and millions, everything of stars in the sky. And the sky was so black, and the stars were so bright, I stood there just turning around in circles saying, "Oh my goodness, Lord, you're amazing. Look what you did." And I felt I could reach up and touch a star. And this is what Abraham experienced. He says, "Abraham, and all the stars were before him." He says, "I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as them stars. Just keep walking. Just keep walking." His wife couldn't have any kids, by the way. "Just keep walking. Lord, how are you going to have a, how am I going to have an heir? She's 99 years of age. I'm older than her. You know, she's not going to have any kids." God says, "Keep walking. If you walk her out, he'll bring the miracle to work her out. If you walk her out, he'll bring the provision to work it out." He says, "Abraham," and Abraham start walking towards it. It's amazing. Just start walking. It's amazing the power of just start walking. God is attracted to walking. He's attracted to movement. He's not attracted to sitting in the boat. He's attracted to getting out of the boat. We say, "God, do it now, do it now." No, start walking. That's faith. That's believing God. And then he moves him on and he pushes on. And what I'm trying to say is, God has a big picture. And he moves us towards the big picture. Always moving us towards the big picture. Whatever God has put in your life, we looked at last week, that he puts things in our lives, in Nehemiah's life. He puts it in, he put it in David's life. He put it in, he said, "David, you're going to be the king." And while he was waiting to be the king, it was where David grew as a man of God. And where David's kingly anointing started to really be unfolded. And the point, one of the points of last week was, don't hate the wait. Because in anything that God has given you, there's a waiting period. Even the vision of Jesus rising from the dead, there was a waiting period. There was 2 days. For Nehemiah, it was like 40 days. It was a waiting. Don't hate the wait. Don't hate, "Oh God, I want the now." No way. Because what happens with visions is, it might be a good idea, but and that's all it is. And it's all right to have good ideas, but we want really God's ideas for our vision, for our life. And in the waiting time, it's amazing how many good ideas get lost along the way. Don't hate the way. It's God's kindness to us. Don't hate the way. It's like he deals with our insecurities in the waiting time. Because then when he brings us into where we need to be, we're not being ruled or dictated by our insecurities. We have insecurities, my vision, my vision, my vision, my goal, my plan, my purpose for my life. And someone just presses at that, and we're kicking them. And we're maiming them, and we're speaking ill of them. That's because we're not waiting in the desert for that to be dealt with and work through. It's God's kindness to us, believe us. Never hate the wait. And if you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, we painted this picture every week. Jesus, after walking the earth, showing the Father's love, the Father's tenderness, showing people what God the Father was like. One of them says, show us the Father. And Jesus says, "Look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Me and the Father are the exact same. I am the Father's picture to you in human form so that you could know what he's like, his tenderness, his compassion, his forgiveness, his miracles." And then he gets brought to Pilate. He's after getting crucified. He's risen from the dead. And in chapter 28 of Matthew, he says, "Now listen, just like the promise that was given to Abraham," he says, "I want to unpack more of that promise. That the descendants, Abraham is called the father of faith." And he says, listen to what he says to them. In Matthew 28, verse 18. "And Jesus came up to them after rising from the dead and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And listen, I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age." And Mark, in Mark's gospel, he adds a little bit more packaging to what Jesus said there. Not added, he heard more. He was displaying more of the same situation. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieved shall be condemned. Therefore, signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out devils. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents. They will, if they drink poison, they will not be harmed. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Jesus starts saying and painting the picture, go into the world. Speak this word. Make disciples, meaning make followers of Jesus. He was speaking to them, go in and lay hands on the sick and they shall be made well. And he painted a big picture. Guys, go. Make, preach, baptize, heal the sick, cast out devils. He was painting a big picture for them because when he was going to be gone, the disciples he knew would be despondent, would be discouraged. But he was saying, guys, here's the vision. And he paints it all before them in great words. He knew they were going to be despondent, but Jesus says, I'm going to paint you a new reality. I'm going to paint you a new reality. I'm going to paint you a superior reality. He says, you're going to see with your eyes. You're going to see all these things. You're going to see me going from you. But if you wait, my Father will send the Holy Spirit who will enable you to do what I've just painted before you. It is amazing that Jesus says, go and do all these things. And who was he talking to? Was he talking to special men and special women? Was he talking to those who are holier than others? He was speaking to all of the disciples. He was speaking, he says, you're going to go. And you're going to do these things. And you're going to lay hands on the sick. And you're going to cast out devils. And you're going to raise the dead. And you're going to now do and see the miracles that you've seen me do. He says this, these things will accompany those who believe. He says, guys, who do you believe in? Me. Well, these things will accompany. And Jesus was painting a vision, and this is what I want to speak on this morning. A vision for power, a vision for science, a vision for wonders, a vision for miracles. He says, guys, if you believe, expect these things to come after your life. Expect these things to be in your life. He said, if you believe in me, that's the requirement. Expect these things to happen in and around you. Don't just live in the natural. Don't just live in the reality of what you see and feel. We're so sensual, aren't we? Everything we have and want is something that we touch, smell, taste, feel. And Jesus says, no, here's a superior reality. Things that you don't see yet. But when you step out and lay hands on the sick, you shall see them get well. Amen. And he's painting a different vision, a different reality, a different superior reality of what they were going to be living in. He knew they were going to be stuck in their heads when he was gone. As Al says, they were going to be up in the office all the time. Up in the head, trying to work it out in the head. And Jesus says, what I have to give you doesn't just come from the head. It comes from above. He was lifting their hearts, lifting their eyes, lifting their minds up to a new and superior reality, a new superior realm. A reality of signs and wonders, a reality of salvation, a reality of taking cities, a reality of taking communities, a reality of seeing sickness healed, troubled people being given hope, broken people being healed, lepers being brought in. He was painting the reality of the prisoner being set free, those who are bound in chains, of all descriptions. He was saying, you're going to go, you're going to go, you're going to go, and you're going to see them fall off them, and you're going to act out what I'm telling you to do. What a reality. Bill Johnson says this, that most of the goals that the church has set can be accomplished without God. Most of the goals that the church has set can be accomplished without goals. We think, me, more people, more money, common goals will accomplish great things. And it does, because determination is an incredible thing. But I just don't want us to accomplish great things. I want us to accomplish God's things. And the only way to accomplish God's things is by His power. Because all of the people and all of the determination is not going to see somebody. And all of the money is not going to see a drug addict set free. Because if that's worked, there shouldn't be a drug addict out in that city because our government puts billions in. and untold workforces, untold people that work with people that have addiction. So if it's just that, we shouldn't have anything. Would you agree? But there's something more needed. And Jesus painted and he says, guys, I'm sending you with this message. Yet you. We want to accomplish great things. But we want to accomplish the superior reality things that God has. Hurting people being healed. And Jesus said, now listen, to achieve this, he says, this is what you're going to have to do. You find it in Luke chapter 24. He says, I want you to go to the city. The same scenario with the disciples. He says, go to the city and wait. And my Father will now send you the Holy Spirit who will bring and give you the power to go, to make, to see, to preach, to baptize, to see the miracles, to see the signs and wonders. So they went. And they waited 40 days, waited on the Holy Spirit to come to empower them to do what God had said he wanted us to do. And it says in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together, all those that had waited. They reckoned and they said it was 500 that he spoke to. And you'd see in this passage, there was 120 that was there when the Holy Spirit came. What does that say to me and you? That some people hate to wait. I'm out of here. It's not happening like tomorrow. It's not happening now. So I'm not going to be a persevering person. I'm not going to be someone that sticks the hand to the plow and keep on going. Imagine Peter saying to them, guys, don't go. Because he could come tomorrow. Because none of them knew when he was going to come. That's why we say, don't miss church. Imagine you miss church. And you come in the following week, and everyone's like, you couldn't. You know the way people say it was the best meeting I was ever at in my life. Every week. I thought you said about last week's meeting. But you don't want to miss it, man. You don't want to miss the up. You don't want to be one of the 380 that says, it's just taking a bit longer than I anticipated. And it says they were all together in one place, and suddenly, out of the blue seemingly, can you imagine they were there, the whatever day they were on, the 40th day, the 39th day. I wonder when God is coming. I wonder when he's going to come through. And they're all sitting there maybe having dinner. Suddenly God comes into place. It says what seemed to be tongues of a violent wind came rushing in and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them as of tongues of fire, distributing themselves and coming and resting on each person's head, like a flame coming and setting people ablaze with the things that God had painted before them. And they were starting to think, I can do it now because I have power to do it. In my own strength, my natural strength, my own reality, I cannot do any of these things. But now with the power of God. The power, and God wants to envision us afresh with the power to do what he has called us to do. The power to overcome, the power to accomplish, the power to succeed, the power to move forward in the things of God. The flame of God came and rested on each of their heads. So you think, no, I can't overcome this. You're right. But with the power of God, you can. The flame came and rested. And I'd love to see the flame of God coming. I'd love him to be there. Your man's on fire. His neck, his head, everything, something about him. There's a new power, a new reality to his life. We try to overcome things in our own strength, but we need to learn how to press into God and overcome things in God's strength. I remember listening to Reinhard Bonnke, a German evangelist, who, if anyone has known him, he was preaching in one meeting in Africa, and 1.4 million people were at his meeting. And he's a German man who God gave a picture one time of the continent of Africa. And the continent of Africa was being washed with the blood of Jesus. And he has been there for the last 30 or 40 years, preaching the gospel, seeing millions upon millions coming to know the Lord. One time, one crusade, they had 6 million cards that was filled in by people that had just given their lives to Jesus. Six, imagine counting them. Not just people saying, oh yeah, I'll give my life to Jesus, but people filling in forms saying, I'm a Christian now. I want to be baptized. I want to, what can I do next? If we got a Bible, people that had to be followed up by the churches in Africa. But Reinhardt said he was asked a tough question in Sweden, I think it was. And the man says to him, look, you're in Africa. It seems to be easier to see miracles and signs and wonders in Africa, but it's not like that in Europe. And Reinhardt said it was a tough question. But Reinhardt knows the flame of God. And he says, I had a decision to make. Do I try and answer him in my own human understanding? Or the way he said it, or I get into the flame. That was my best attempt of an African Reinhardt or a German. He said he got into the flame. And the Lord gave him wisdom. And he said, when I last looked at my Bible, John 3:16 says that for God so loves the world, he gave his only begotten son. Not that he gave it to Africa, but he gave it to the world. It's not just going to happen there, he says, that God wants it to happen in Europe. And we have a choice that God has given us the Holy Spirit. And we have a choice to whether we operate in our own understanding when things come or we get into the flame. Amen. We have a choice. The Holy Spirit came. He says, now when the Holy Spirit came, you can dream. You can have vision. You can reach your potential. You can succeed in God. You can move mountains. You can say to the tombstone, move away. You can say to the mountain, be cast. You can now say it because the Holy Spirit had come, just like the prophet of old had said. He says, here's vision, win the world. Here's vision, here's my power to win the world. And he says, here's vision for you. Seeing massive loads of people coming to know me. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. They're all downstairs. They get thrown out the door nearly. Everyone in the city says, they're drunk. They're locked, if it was in Dublin. They fall out like, No one had seen this before. How was the Holy Spirit going to come? And what expressions of it was going to happen? And they came out the door and the men says, it's only 11 in the morning and they're drunk. And Peter stands up. And you remember Peter? Peter ran away when a little girl says you were with Jesus. But now with the flame. Now with the power of God. All of the people says, they're drunk. He stands up. We're not drunk as you suppose. We're filled with the... He says, men of Jerusalem, wait till I tell you something. This Jesus that you crucified, he says, just laying responsibility where it was supposed to be laid. That you crucified, he was the Son of God. And he preaches a message. And he preaches it from the Old Testament, the Messiah that was to come. And he starts speaking to them. And listen to what it says in Acts chapter 2 and 37. When they heard Peter, they were pierced to the heart. See, people can say what they want and speakers can say what they want. But when it's under the flame of the Holy Spirit, it goes right to the heart. That's when people come to know Jesus in a personal way. Somebody is speaking or someone is talking to them. And it goes beyond the intellect and straight to the heart of the matter. And someone says, I want to give my life to Jesus. I don't understand everything that's going on, but that's spoken right to my heart. And it says that the words of Peter pierce their hearts. And then they say to Peter, what shall we do? With all of this that you said, what shall we do? And Peter says, repent. And each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise, he says, is for you. And for you and for your children and their children. And he was bringing all of us into this equation. He said, it's for you guys, your children, their, and all who God would call to himself. That's us. What shall we do to have this power? Turn away from all of our wrongdoings and turn to Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit, and you will have the same power. And listen to what happened. He says, here's a picture Jesus painted. It's amazing. So then, those who received his word and were baptized that day, they were added to the number of believers, about 3,000 people. Jesus says, I'm going to give you a vision for massive loads of people coming to know me. It's not just little few. He says, I want to show you. And there is little few in some places. But I guarantee you those little few are praying for more people to come to know God. And you know what we think? You know, Dublin's harder than it was back then. Oh, people in Dublin, they haven't got time for God or got time for religion. I wouldn't blame them not having time for religion. We haven't got time for all this carry on in Dublin. Listen, don't be naive. Because when we all go to bed, we're all the same. And we look up to heaven, if you're really there. And pity the man or woman that Christ himself to sleep and have no comfort, have no knowledge that God is there for them. But the picture and the vision that Jesus was painting, the Holy Spirit was painting in Acts chapter 3, he says there's a time and there's space for thousands to come to know him. That's what he's saying. Imagine with me, wherever you live, imagine 3,000 people in Talla just coming to know Jesus in one afternoon. Imagine people in Finglas. Imagine people in Ringsend. Imagine people on the north side, the south side, just coming, 3,000 of them, coming to know Jesus. And Jesus painted a picture. Guys, this is not impossible. This is possible. Because the same Holy Spirit that is in us is the same Holy Spirit that is here in these scriptures. He gave pictures and vision for a big, massive outpouring. 5 minutes, 2 minutes, let me tell you something. In 1988, a young girl came a Christian in Dolphins Barn. Her family thought she was mad because she was talking about Jesus as if he was real. And not in just some religious, pious way. They could see that her life was totally changed. They ridiculed her, threw her out of the house. We don't know, you're after getting into a cult. You're after leaving the Catholic Church. You're after going off your trolley. You were saying all types of things to her. But she had the flame. It's amazing when you have the flame. So she shares the Lord with our brother. He was a heroin addict. A bank robber. The flame, because fire is contagious. He became a Christian and he got the flame. And before you knew it, I kid you not, there was at least 40 of us up in Dolphins Barn in a little flat, 27K, in Fatima, with songs singing about Jesus. This is truth. It's the way it went. You walk over to Fatima, you buy a £10 deal. The next night the flame catches you and you're walking up with a Bible in your hand. Truth, and the guys that were selling gear on the corner, yous will be back. Stephen, is that right? Absolutely incredible. In some of those meetings, if the police would have raided that house, there would have been half of us taken out. I didn't see you there, Steve. Stephen's sister. The flame of God. The flame of God just started catching. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do with the HIV epidemic in Dolphin. They didn't know what to do with the heroin epidemic in Fatima and Dolphin. And they didn't know what to do with the Jesus epidemic that hit Dolphin and Fatima. They didn't know because the flame of God. Now look here, God is the same. And I want us to have vision for the same. 3,000 coming to know. Amen. It gets crazier. Then the two disciples is walking along in Acts chapter 3. The Holy Spirit paints a picture for a miracle. A man sitting begging, crippled from birth. He was at a place called the Gate Beautiful. And Peter and John's walking by. Can I say it again? Under the flame. Many had walked by. He's looking for a few odds. Any odds, bud? There you go. Poor beggar. He's there since he's a kid. Professional beggar. Best beggar in Jerusalem. Imagine he had a t-shirt on. Number one beggar. His ambition, his DNA was being crushed. The things that God had for him, he was no longer living. We're all beggars at some stage. The things that we want to achieve, we're not achieving because we're crippled by hurt or pain or life or choices. that won't employ any odds. You just call them alms. Any alms. They look and they stop and they go, look, silver and gold I haven't got. See, he was looking something from this reality. He said, silver and gold I haven't got, but I'm going to give you something from a superior reality. And they laid hands on him and says, get up in the name of Jesus and walk. And the fella grabs a hold of them and jumps up and starts walking. He starts running down into the temple, the place where he never went in because he was crippled. And he runs in and he's rejoicing. And you know what all the religious people say? What is he doing in there? What's he doing jumping around? Because he was touched by the flame. Touched by the flame, the enthusiasm, the passion. They said, what happened to you? They prayed in this name, the name of Jesus, and here I am. I could imagine him moonwalking. I could imagine him doing flips. He goes, guys, I couldn't do this before, but now look at me. And he paints this vision. The Holy Spirit in Acts paints the vision. Guys, keep going after miracles. Keep going after signs and wonders. Keep going after salvations. Keep going after the power of God. Don't stop, no matter what your reality says to you. I prayed for people and they died. Truth. I was up in the morgue one time and my friend had died and I went in and prayed for her. She didn't get up. But keep praying. Keep believing. Keep knowing that he's superior. Keep knowing that there's a realm that we have to tap into that God wants to paint, because one miracle equals three. Another 5,000 came to the Lord after that miracle, by the way. One miracle equals 5,000 coming to know Jesus. I'm like, bring on the miracles, Lord. There's responsibilities with miracles. But bring them on nonetheless. He paints this picture for signs and wonders. In Acts chapter 9, nearly finishing, he paints a picture for personal encounters with Jesus. Here's Saul persecuting the church, dragging the believers off the prison. Coming against him, stood there while one of the believers got pounded with stones and killed. Stephen, the disciple, gets dragged out to be killed, and here's Saul standing there holding the jackets. Probably instigated it, probably ordered it. If you read Stephen's situation, he looks beyond this reality. And he looks to the superior reality and he says, I see the Son of God sitting at the right hand of the Father. And that's where I live. And that's where I'm going. And that's the reality I live from. It doesn't really hurt. It hurts the flesh, but I'm going somewhere. Because my reality is not just this reality. And Saul is standing there. He gets killed and Saul's standing there. And Saul's gone to another place to persecute the church in another place. And Jesus comes and he encounters Jesus, the risen God. He encounters him. Jesus stands and speaks to him. He said, Saul, why are you persecuting? You're persecuting me. You're persecuting. You're kicking against me. When you touch one of them, you touch me. When you hurt one of them, you hurt me. Saul gets blinded, but he had a reality check with the living encounter with the living God. And can I tell you, Jesus wants to paint pictures of for us today that he hasn't given up encountering us. He hasn't given up. He hasn't said, look, I've stopped encountering people, that he's still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That we have, you think your brother or your sister or your teacher or your lecturer or your boss is hard? You think, oh, he'll never come a Christian, one turn up of Jesus, and I'm telling you, he's on his knees. And he's turning to God and to the love of God. Don't give up. I just read recently, 30 in a village in Africa, 30 Muslims seeing Jesus. They encountered Jesus in one village and the village became Christians because one encounter. And as Reinhardt says, God doesn't just live in Africa, that he loves the world, amen? He loves Dublin, he loves Ireland, he loves Europe. And the same God that painted this picture is still painting pictures if we just go and read them. In Acts chapter 16, see, Paul then gets the flame. It's incredible, isn't it? Paul gets the flame. He was once the persecutor. Now he's going around preaching to everybody. He's going and doing what the disciples heard when Jesus rose from. Go into the world. And the other disciples went to Jewish people. But Paul came to what the Bible calls the Gentiles. Us. The people that were outside of the Jewish faith. God gave him a heart to go to those who weren't in the faith and to tell them about this Jesus. And there was a bit of uproar. Read it for yourself in Acts. Some of them were like, I don't trust him. I don't know what he's about. But I guarantee you they recognized the flame. And he's now doing the miracles that they were doing. And he was now preaching and baptizing people like the others were doing. They were recognizing the flame. And Silas and Paul is in the place, and there's this girl that was telling fortunes. And she was walking after Silas and Paul, and they were shouting, they know the way, they know the way. And eventually Paul says, come here. Shut up and come out of her in the name of Jesus. And the fortune teller's demon came out. And that should be enough to tell us never to go near the fortune teller. It should be enough. Come out. They got kicked into prison for doing it because someone's prophet was being taken off them. And while they're in prison, they paint the picture for us. A vision for power even in the midst of difficulties. See, the same flame that is in us when we're doing great is the same flame that is in us when we're in difficulties. The same Holy Spirit that is in us, on us, works through us. It's the same Holy Spirit that brings breakthroughs into our families. And they're in prison. What do we do, Silas? What do we do? Silas was a bit of a prophet. They could have easily living in this world and saying, Silas, you should have known that this was coming. You should have heard from God for us. Well, Paul, you're the big shot now. I listen to you. They could have gotten into the flesh. They could have gotten into natural, but instead they got into the flame. They started praising God. They started banging. They were in stocks and chains. They started banging them together. Sounded good, probably, to angels. It says, while they were praising God, it's in chapter 16, an earthquake came from God. And the doors flung open. And the prison and the stocks and chains came off of their hands. Because God was painting for us and was letting them experience a vision that you can praise God even in difficulties. That you can walk with God by the same power of the same Holy Spirit when you feel you're in prison, in stocks and chains. When it was in the deepest dungeon, by the way. And all the doors flung open of all the other ones. All the other prisoners' chains came off them. Do you know why? The flame spreads. Now here someone comes into their wife, honey, I became a Christian. Oh, you're mad. 2 weeks later, they're both in church, praise God. Why? Because when one gets out of prison, he gives someone else the freedom to get out of prison. It's amazing. That's what happened with us when that fella became a Christian. He came off the dolphin. He started telling us all about Jesus, one by one. We're slagging on the corner with all of our mates. You're gone off your head. You're mad. Oh, Moses, come over here. Come on, part the canal. Come up and here's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you're slagging them on the corner. And the next week, you're standing going up to the prayer meeting with a Bible in your hand. Because when a prisoner gets out, they tell other prisoners how to get out of prison. And chains fall off. And he's the same today. And listen to this. Listen to this vision. We need this, guys. We need this. This is going to break your heart and set you on fire at the same time. Chapter 16, verse 28. They all get out of prison, right? And the jailer is there. I'm telling you, Jesus gives us vision in Acts for breakthroughs in our families. They get out of prison. You know what the jailer does? Because his head is on the line now with his bosses. He takes out his sword and he's going to kill himself. Because he knew that was going to be the fate with the Roman soldiers anyway. And they get out of prison because they knew the power of God and the flame of heaven even in the midst of the difficulty. And the flame and the Holy Spirit enabled them to be able to worship God and praise God. Now, it doesn't mean when we're in difficulties, we're running around like absolutely mad people. It's not happening, it's not happening, and it is happening. They knew they were in prison. They weren't in denial. It doesn't serve God or anyone any purpose to be in denial. Acknowledge where you're at and praise God anyway. If we can do that, guys, I'm telling you, we'll get through anything. Get through deaths of our loved ones. We get through job losses. We get through financial breakdowns, mental breakdowns, marital breakdowns. If we can enable and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us at that rate. And he was going to kill himself. And listen, Paul looked at him and cried to him with a loud voice saying, stop! Don't harm yourself. Stop, he said. Don't harm yourself. I'm telling you, if there's ever a time for the church to look to the world and say, stop. Stop harming yourself. Saying to our younger generation, stop killing yourself. Saying to the young people that are cutting their bodies up with knives and glass, stop it. Stop. If there's ever a time for the church to be here and relevant to stand up and say, it is now. And the picture that Jesus was painting was that we can't say to the world, say to people one at a time, stop, love. You're harming yourself, you don't even know it. You're killing off your potential and you don't even know it. Stop. And you know what happened? He stopped. And they said to the jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus and you and your whole household will become to know Jesus and live in the way that Jesus has. He says, not only is going to be a breakthrough in your life, but there's going to be a breakthrough in your household life and all of his family. And I don't know, but back then it wasn't just him and his four kids. He had loads in them communities. Cousins and cousins of cousins. And people of people all belonged to the family and they all queued up one at a time to be baptized. See, we don't know what was going on in that jailer's life. We don't know what was going on in his family's life. But there was something going on. Because they're human. And I might know what's going on in your family life or your cousin's life. But can I tell you, Acts paints a picture that Jesus wants to bring breakthroughs into our families, into our situations, into our prisons, that we are now enabled to say to the world, stop. Say to our young girls, stop. To say to our old folks, stop. Say amen. Jesus knows your family circumstance. And he promises that signs and wonders will follow those who believe. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. I thank you, Lord, that you have enthused our hearts this morning, Lord. That with God, all things are possible. That, Lord God, our vision, Father, is for power, is for salvations, massive loads of people coming to know you, Lord, living for you. Father, our vision is to see the unwell made well. Our vision is to see prison doors being opened and stocks and chains on people's hands of all types, Father, of bondages, of addictions, Father God, of hurts, of pain, falling off them, Lord. Father, we vision, Father, for each individual, Lord, to carry the flame of heaven back to where they live, Father, to live their life out, Lord, under your power, Lord. Father, vision for people to overcome in the power of Jesus. Vision for breakthroughs in families. Vision, Father, for individuals to have ideas from heaven that will enable us to have a platform to say to this world, stop. Stop harming yourself. Here's the answer. Here's the solution. Father, those who are of us who work directly with people, I pray, Father God, every morning, that we would make a decision to get into the flame of heaven. Those of us who are living for you, Lord, that we'd wake up in the morning, I want to live, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to try be a Christian. Stop trying being a Christian. And allow the life of God to live through you. God, I just want to live for you. I want to be like that woman, Lord, I went into Dolphin House.